Stanley Clarke is the premier bass player of our time. Most single out his contributions on electric bass with the groundbreaking Return to Forever and his hit solo albums like School Days that showcase his amazing talent as a composer and arranger as well. We are also excited because Stanley is originally from Philadelphia, home of the World Cafe. He has a new album called The Toys of Men. And I started with a seminal question. Why did he choose the bass?
You know, the bass was kind of an accident. I think I was maybe 12 or 13 years old, and there was a call in the school, come get musical instruments if you want to be a musician. Show up at room 102 or something like that. I think that's what I remember. And myself, as usual, I was late. And when I got there, all the what I would call in those days the good instruments, the violins, the cellos, the flutes, saxophones, et cetera, were all taken. And there was this instrument in the corner, an acoustic bass. And there was a teacher, his name was Mr. Birch at that time. I still remember his name. He said, you know, why don't you play that? And I said, what is that? He said, it's the contrabass. And I said, wow, I could hardly pronounce anything in those days. And so I tried to, play the bass. I think the first thing I did was I plucked it, and it was really seemed like a serious mountain climb. Like I had to climb the Mount Everest to try to get anything to sound good on this thing. So it's kind of been my quest in life to make the acoustic bass sound beautiful. And that's, I'm still doing it today, just still striving for tone, you know.
Were you tall enough for the instrument at the time?
Oh, yeah. I think that's why Mr. Birch thought I should do that. There was a tuba there, and there was a bass drum. So, actually, I'm glad.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm glad he pointed me to the acoustic bass. I got to thank old Mr. Birch there, you know.
Were you ever the stereotypical serious music student nerd?
Probably, some of my friends thought that, you know. I mean, I lived in a neighborhood that was... Yeah, it was a normal neighborhood, and, you know, we had, you know, the jocks, you know, we were all interested in sports and, you know, girls, you know, just the normal stuff that kids were into, at least in my neighborhood. And, but I was like the neighborhood musician. There was myself and another a guy that played drums, and every now and then we would kind of escape the mob and go to another part of town with some other musicians and play. And everyone started wondering, where'd you go last night? What are you doing this? And then of course, in school, I got really involved in school activities that had to do with other than sports, but many of the activities that had to do with music, like school orchestras and bands and those sort of things. So, that was pretty much that took up all my time in those days, Philadelphia was a great place to grow up if you were, trying to be a musician or a better musician, because the school system in those days, I think every high school and every elementary school had an orchestra, had a slew of instruments and teachers and different things, and it was a great time. I have to say I had a great, great time when I was in school,
Stanley Clarke is our guest on the Cafe today. This new album has a lot of acoustic bass on it, including some gorgeous solo pieces. You're probably still better known as an electric player. Can you say that they are two different instruments?
Yeah, for me, they're two completely different instruments. Just first of all, just to play those instruments. I mean, the acoustic bass is straight up and down. The electric bass is basically a guitar, but a bass guitar. That's actually the proper name for it, electric bass guitar. And the fingering is similar, but it's because the scale of both instruments are different. Like for instance, on the electric bass, you use more of the third finger than on the acoustic bass. This is real kind of technical stuff here, but for me, I actually approached both instruments completely different. I think the reason why at this point in my life I I tend to gravitate more toward the acoustic bass. I'm not saying it's a full circle. I'm hoping I got a few more circles to go and travel around. But I will say that, you know, in my heart, I'm an acoustic bass player, even though much of my fame and whatever notoriety or whatever you want to call it comes from me as an electric bass player. But at heart, I'm an acoustic bass player, and my hobby was the electric bass. I never really studied the electric bass. Never studied it properly, but, you know, once I, you know, got to a certain point with the acoustic bass, you know, which I spent a lot of time, I had many great teachers. I studied with a man named Neil Courtney, who I believe is still with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Another man, I think he's retired from the Philadelphia Orchestra, named Edward Arian. Then my out of all the teachers I had, the dearest one I had was a man by the, he passed away. His name is Eligio Rossi. He was a little Italian guy. I used to call him my little Roman friend. He used to laugh at me, you know. But this guy was not only a bass teacher, he was a somewhat of a father figure to me. He really kind of understood where I came from, what I was doing. You know, he really got into my head and really, you know, taught me at a very young age about focusing, and taught me about when you're trying to strive for something, you know, as small as just getting to the next step, or as great as striving for greatness. Either one of those positions you want to move into, you have to have focus. And if you don't have focus, you're not going to get to the next step, or if you're striving for greatness, you're definitely not going to get there. So, you know, I have a lot of respect and love and appreciation and gratitude for what he gave me. So, yeah.
Well, this new album, The Toys of Men, maybe you should talk a little bit about the inspiration for it.
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, I've seen in a lot of the press that it's like, you know, Stanley's making an album about, he's making an anti-war statement and all that. I mean, I just want to say that I didn't make the album to create a platform for me to say anything about anything. I mean, many times, you know, since the beginning of time, artists have expressed their feelings through art, whether it's something someone scratches on a wall to someone making a CD, and now nowadays. I think, you know, for me, it was something that I was thinking about. I'm a news freak. I like, you know, my wife always complains that, you know, I never watch, even though it's funny, like I'm a film composer, I watch very few movies, but I'm always checking out CNN, I check out Fox News, I check out all these different things just because I just like reality stuff. I just love to see what's really happening. And, you know, it's obvious we're all bombarded with the Iraqi war. We're bombarded with the state of this nation. Everything from that to the immigration problems are coming up on, you know, an election. And, you know, and I was just sitting around one day, and I was thinking about what to put on, on a new album. And this this piece, The Toys of Men, actually was written some time ago in another form, and I thought of rewriting it again, and it just, all this stuff started coming out, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it's very difficult when you're an instrumental artist and you don't have the luxury of lyrics to, you know, like someone like a Bruce Springsteen, he can, you know, he wants to talk about immigration, you know. He's going to write a song, and maybe the first lyric will be immigration. You know, I don't. The next word will be problem. You know, I don't have that luxury. You know, so the closest you're going to get to understanding what I'm trying to say through music or art or articulate through music is in the title, or, you know, if I'm lucky, or if I really, really spent the time, which I feel I did with this piece, you can kind of hear it in the music if you really kind of focus on the music and allow yourself to embrace it and really use your imagination. Later in the album, there's a tune called Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I've been there a few times. It's a really interesting city. Every time I've been there, it's so peaceful there. And I remember one time I was there and I was thinking, wow, now here's a city where everybody under the sun has tried to conquer the city or has, have conquered it. And it's just there's so many problems. And I'm standing here and I feel totally relaxed, beautiful. I remember there was a beautiful sunrise one morning I was there. And actually that's basically the inspiration behind the piece, Jerusalem. It's just a morning I was in Jerusalem and it was really peaceful.
Well, it's interesting you brought up Jerusalem because I wanted to play that because it's a real beautiful piece. And it was composed by a member of your band, Rusian mm-hmm. Sirota.
Exactly.
And you play the acoustic bass guitar. Let's mm-hmm. make sure we're naming everything properly. And what's the advantage of this instrument on this?
Well, the acoustic bass guitar, it's basically kind of, it looks like an electric bass, you play it like you play an electric bass, so it's a guitar, but only it's acoustic. It's not very widely used in recording. Most bass players usually have one just to have at home. Like, it's cool, you could pick it up, you don't need an amplifier, because it's acoustic, it generates enough volume for you to hear. And I have seen them in some groups when they have these unplugged things. You see some of the rock bands and the bass player will come out with an acoustic bass guitar and all that. But what I wanted to do, I'm always interested in pushing the bass a little further, and so I actually recorded quite a bit with it to try to get a really good sound on this thing. And I really like how it came out,
Well, I wanted to play that for precisely that reason, because I've heard a lot of people play this instrument, and I, quite honestly, a lot of times it doesn't sound very good.
Sounds awful, man. Yeah. Well, the trick with that instrument is, I'm not patting myself on the back, but yes, I'm old enough. I guess sometimes you can give yourself a little pat. It's the kind of instrument that you have to be very clean on it. You cannot play this instrument like you're playing a Fender bass. A Fender bass, you can play it and you can kind of muffle over a few notes, and because it's so loud, no one's going to really notice it, But this is like playing a, an acoustic guitar. You're kind of naked out there. You can't hide, and you have to have your stuff together when you play this instrument.
Well, this is what it sounds like on this really gorgeous piece of music called Jerusalem. That is Jerusalem from the new Stanley Clarke album called The Toys of Men, and we're getting a chance to talk with Stanley about all things bass and musical. Stanley, you and a very small handful of bass players took the bass off of the bottom and made it a melodic instrument. What was your inspiration to do that?
I think it was it was probably, it's funny, that's a good question, many people have asked me that question, but for some reason the way you asked it, it made me think of something different. It was not so much an inspiration in the sense that, I saw something and then I was inspired by it, or even I thought of something. It was kind of a natural thing. A lot of, I think the thing that's similar, that a string that runs through all the bass players that tend to lean toward being melodic on the bass, is that they're very melodic musicians, you know. Like for me, myself, I mean, I didn't really grow up and decide to be like a bass player. That was kind of the instrument that I play, but I really wanted to be a musician. So, you know, I studied music and I studied all aspects of it, but what I did was I played the bass. That was the tool that I had. And a lot of other bass players that I know that are you know, proficient bass players, virtuosic bass players, whatever, are like that. You know, I love melodies, but at the same time, I love the bass and I love the role of the bass. I mean, I spent many years doing sessions and playing in different bands and playing, you know, playing the role of a bass player. But then at the same time, I used to write music, and I thought, you know, I'm going to write this song here, and instead of giving the saxophone player the melody, I'm going to play it myself, you know. It was really kind of that simple, you know.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Joni Mitchell once, and she was talking about how she finally hooked up with Jaco Pastorius, and she said she was having trouble finding bass players who would do that. I mean, it was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I got to stay down here on the route, and I got to was it unusual at the time?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, some could be, you know, just philosophically how someone looks at the bass. Another thing could be that a guy just can't play a melody on the bass. He just, you know, to be a melodic player, you know, that takes another set of, it's a different kind of wiring, you know, in the mind that the information has to go through. For that. So, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why people do it and don't do it. I don't think there's one set thing. I know in my case, I've always been interested in composing music. I was always writing music from as long as I can remember. And so it was only natural that I was going to write some music, you know, for the instrument that I played, which is the bass.
Right. One of the, probably the way a lot of people came to know your work was through Return to Forever, whether it was the acoustic side of things, when that first Chick Corea album called RTF, or No Mystery and Beyond. What did you and Chick recognize in each other musically that made that such a great combination?
Well, you know, Chick was kind of like a modern-day Bill Evans to me. Chick was a perfect person to play with if you're a bass player. He loves adventurous bass players, just like Bill Evans did when Bill had Scott LaFaro, and there were a few other bass players he had, but it really was evident when Scott LaFaro was in the band that, every song, Scotty played a solo, and Bill used to, the way he used to accompany his solos, you know, or comp, as we would say, behind his solos. I mean, it was done with such precision, and you could really tell that he really was interested in what Scott LaFaro was playing, you know, and Chick is like that. Chick is when you play a solo and Chick is playing behind you, he's going to elevate your solo, no matter who you are.
Well, I wanted to showcase you as a composer from No Mystery and play Day Ride from that. This is our guest with Return to Forever. That's Day Ride from No Mystery from Return to Forever, and we're talking with Stanley Clark today on the Cafe. He has a new album called The Toys of Men, and we've been talking so much about acoustic bass, I wanted to touch a little bit on electric and play something from School Days, which people just don't realize what an unusual thing it was to have a bass player with a smash hit album like that. It was so cool. I kind of have to remind people, though, that it was Larry Graham who started popping on the bass first.
Now, That's right.
Now, you just said, whoa, I got to take this somewhere, or how did that work out?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Larry was a good friend of mine. I remember seeing Larry for the first time. I was in San Francisco, and somehow Carlos Santana called me. I don't know why or what was happening, but I end up going to this club with Carlos, and this is a funny thing to say. I hope Carlos doesn't get mad at me, but Carlos was one of these guys. He'd have like a trench coat on with like microphones and tapes, tape recorders underneath. He would tape anything. So we go, and he's saying, man, this is something new, and man, where do you hear this? And it was Larry's had just started Graham Central Station, and this was really, you know, an amazing thing to see, because here was a great bass player that, you know, had an unusual style that was singing, and he had a whole concept, and it was great, you know. And I heard it, and it was really something. And I think the combination of listening to Larry, and I've always liked flamenco guitar players, and then just, you know, being the adventurous type, you know, it was only natural that I would take things and just, you know, say, well, I'm going to take it in this direction. And it, you know, what's funny, actually popping on the bass, I actually learned how to do that from a drummer. Lenny White showed me how to do it. It wasn't natural for me to start doing that. Hmm. And Lenny was grabbing the bass one day. He says, man, check this out. And it was very primitive how he was doing it, but the basic concept was there.
Wow.
It's pretty funny.
Well, let's play School Days. I think you all know this one from Stanley Clark. Track of School Days from our guest Stanley Clark, who's got this very fine new album called The Toys of Men. Stanley, you got that bass there. I got to take advantage of this.
Okay.
You want to play another piece for us?
Sure. Thank you.
Stanley Clarke playing live for us today on the Cafe. And Stanley, this is radio, so I can ask this question because people can't see. You mentioned flamenco. When you do runs like that, how many fingers on your right hand do you use?
Well, it depends. Like, if I really haven't done much of the flamenco stuff, but I mean, I do like. All sorts of things and techniques I use on the bass, you know, on the acoustic bass that keep it at least interesting for me, you know.
Stanley, thank you so much for your work and your time here today. It's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Great, thanks.
Stanley Clarke, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.